Good morning again, my friends. This is David Saul from Beholding His Glory, and you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Let us finish this week, Have You Patience. And remember, if you'd like to get a copy of the entire teaching, just go ahead and send me an email to charliegolf1, that's all one word, charliegolf1 at outlook.com, and I will get the entire teaching out to you. You, my friend, we do have patience, and we even believe it to be so until God lights the fire underneath of us, or He turns down the screws a little bit in our lives. Then we will see what song comes out of our mouth. Are we singing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, or are we singing Nobody Knows What Troubles I Have Seen? Last week we ended up talking about Revelations 4:4 that we were created and not made by God for one and only one reason, and that was for thy, and thy is God's good pleasure. That's right. Not to spread this wondrous gospel message around the world, and we have to do that. And not to feed and clothe the poor, and yes, we should do that. But we were not even made to do mighty works and miracles, and we got to do those also. But we have been created by God for one reason, and that's for His good pleasure. In other words, we live and we move and we have or are being at the desire and the whim of God. And whatsoever He wants to do with us depends not on us, but on God's good pleasure for us. Wow. Now, most Christians and some believers do not want to hear these words, but it is true, as the day is long. God gets to do whatsoever He wants in our lives. We are the clay, and He is the potter. And the potter gets to fashion the clay as a vessel of honor or dishonor according to His plan and purposes for the clay. Paul in Romans 9:21 asks the Christians at the church at Rome, "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor?" Yes, we've been created for God's good pleasure, and seldom God tells us what His good pleasure is. Most often we have to experience this for ourselves. For Daniel, it was God's good pleasure for him to go into the lion's den. For the three Hebrew children, it was God's good pleasure for them to be thrown into the fiery furnace. But even for Jesus, it was His Father's good pleasure for Him to go to the cross. But aren't we glad that Jesus went to the cross? Because without His obedience to the Father, we would have no hope for salvation and coming to know God in a personal way. I guess bringing things up more into our times, it was God's good pleasure to send Jim Elliot to the Ahuar people of Ecuador. But on 8 January 1956, Jim and four other Christian missionaries were killed. Now, most Christians would not consider this to be God's good pleasure. But remember Hebrews 10:36 that we looked at last week, "After ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Well, you would ask, what promise did Jim Elliot receive? How about eternal life? And in the end, because of the witness and sacrifice of Jim and his companion, his wife and his daughter moved in with the Uncas people and led all of them to Christ. It was God's good pleasure for the Unca people to be saved. And someone had to go and start the ball rolling. Someone had to go and sacrifice to make sure none shall perish. That all, now that included the Unca people. Jim made sure of that. God's good pleasure can be painful and cost us everything at times, but if we lose it all, we shall have gained everything. Just ask Jim the next time you see him. Amen? Okay, let us go ahead and get into that third-fold requirement for patience. And that is patience with ourselves. Again, patience with ourselves. Now, this is hard for some, especially for those introspect type folks, or those who wish to attain to great ideals too quickly. Let's face it, some people are just too proud. Now, I do not mean the common folks, you know, who manifest a pride so often that we see in everyday folks, but the pride to which I refer is the hidden, and it is more than less of a spiritual nature. It is a subtle form and hates to fail. It feels much hurt when it fails to meet the demands of higher spiritual requirements and spirituality. Often there is a lurking faint hope that some good or some strength might still remain in that old man, that old creation. Yes, one goes on bravely for a while, and even at times, the Lord will even encourage the dear soul. Now, sudden strength of spiritual life and growth often blinds the heart to its real condition. Let me say that again. Sudden strength of spiritual life and growth often can blind the heart to its real condition. In order for the one to be brought out successfully, they have to come face to face with failure. Wow. This is most horrifying to a sensitive soul, but in time God brings that person on to where they are capable of seeing such doings. Have you ever been there? Have you ever failed, my friend? Well, failure is a better teacher than success if you learn the lessons quite well. Failure allows us to see ourselves the way we really are, and as God sees us. And then that subtle pride can be crucified, and we can stand with God naked and look at that old creation and patiently then let go of that. And best of all, God is never surprised. After all, He knows all things. He knew of the subtle pride in us, doesn't He, before we did. You know, many Christians and some believers waste much time excusing things or explaining these things to the Lord when He already knows all about us, and He knows all about these things. Sadder yet, though, many Christians and some believers blame everything on the devil. Flip Wilson made a fortune saying, "The devil made me do it, the devil made me do it." Well, God too knows the devil does not make us do 90%, if not more, of the things we blame the devil of. James 1:14 and 15 tells us the truth here. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away," now listen, "of his own lust and enticed." Verse 15, "Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death." Wow. So what do we do? Easy. Do not blame the devil, and be patient with ourselves, own heart, and let God work it all out through His dealings and His judgments in our life. To call ourselves names or whatever will never change our character. We must never ever excuse sin and harden our hearts against conviction. Nor do we excuse our brother's sin against us or others. We must judge sin and failure, those coming short of the glory of God that are not sin, and trust and patiently wait for God to bring us through these areas. Again in James 1, 2, and 4, "My brethren," he's talking to believers here, "count it all joy, not if, but when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience," wow, "but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect," or mature, "and entirely wanting nothing." Luke 21:19 says it this way, "In your patience possess ye your souls." If we are to grow in grace and have patience work in our lives, we must expect discipline and correction at God's hand. we must expect our faith be tried, and we must learn to recognize the failure of the old man, the flesh, the old creation, and its subtle forms of pride, which only hinders our spiritual growth and our onward movement toward God. Let us therefore run with patience the race that is set, or in the Greek, or the race God set before us, knowing that faith and love of God ever reaches beyond us, and faithful is He that calls us, who also will do it. Wow. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, hoping that you have enjoyed this series on Have You Patience, and trusting that you have learned something. Open up your eyes and the eyes of your heart to the critical need for patience. Amen. Hoping you have a wonderful week. God bless, and talk to you all next week. Amen. God bless.